Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Probably the moment of the season thus far, and there have been some good ones, some surprising ones, but seeing the manager in the laundry basket being pushed through the shower.
A lot of fun.
One of the great moments of anyone's career, and we are delighted to welcome in Will Venable. He joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out at aturo.com. Good morning, Will. How you doing?
Doing great. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
It's been a surprise thus far, and we're really enjoying the way the team has been playing. You know, we were talking amongst ourselves about what your strength would be, and we were unsure. And here you are, first time through the rotation, and I think the conclusion is that it's starting pitching, that you've really had some great starting pitching, and congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you. These guys have done a great job, and yeah, you're right. Our identity is kind of revealing itself here in the early going, and obviously pitching is been the highlight of these first few games. So we know pitching and defense is going to be what we have to lean on throughout this season, and happy to see those guys have good results.
Let's go into last night, because Shane Smith was out there and again gave you five scoreless. Just wonder what the thought process was as you were sitting there and he was in the dugout after five scoreless, going back out, giving him a chance to pitch the six. Where was he in terms of his pitch count, which was pretty low, I think, and he probably felt pretty good. And then, Will, it seemed like his velocity dipped and he got into some trouble with command. Take us through what you were thinking as you were sending him out again in the sixth.
Yeah, first of all, I mean, he did an amazing job for a big league debut to have his composure be what it was, and him really overpowering these guys with a fastball was great. And kind of where all our starters are at, kind of going into this first start, was six innings, 100 pitches, and these guys hadn't yet got to six up. So as he got through five, and we think about the sixth inning, we felt really good about where the pitch count was, but we were going to be ready with somebody behind him, and we got those first two quick outs, and then the two walks, and it was kind of time to move on, and he had done his job for the day.
Did Penn Murphy have enough time to warm up? It felt like, just watching the game, that happened awful quick. I thought he actually had a strike out there, and then they walk a guy, then the second walk, and then you got to move, and you go out there, and it seemed like you were trying to take your time going out there. Maybe that's just me, but and then when he came in, it wasn't like they hit him with great velocity or anything, but man, that lead disappeared, and the earned run streak was gone. It just was kind of extraordinary how quickly it happened.
Yeah, it was, and Penn was ready to go. We're not going to put these guys in a position out there if they're not ready. Mm-hmm. Did stall and try and give him a couple more pitches there, but they had called down and confirmed that he was ready to go. And Penn's one of our guys, and just wasn't able to bury that slider on France, and kind of opened up from there. But we have a ton of confidence in Penn. If that situation happens again, we're confident that he's going to go out there and get the job done.
Talking with White Sox manager Will Venable here on The Score. Well, one thing that I've been struck by, whether it's at spring training or as the season has gotten off to an encouraging start, is when your players talk about the relationship with the new manager, you, the communication is always referenced. And I also think that it seems like a lot of players respect the fact that you are somebody who is an ex-player and can relate to what they're going through. In your communication with these guys, how often do you lean on that to communicate? And how often does that come up just in a day-to-day routine on the job?
Yeah, it's in everything that we're doing here. You know, having been in their shoes and understanding what it's like and how tough it is, you know, at the end of the day, all you really want as a player is transparency, you know. And I've told these guys, I've said it several times to them, you know, I'm going to mess up a lot of stuff, but the one thing that I'm confident that I'm going to get right is just being honest and transparent with them the best I can. And I know that that's something that they appreciate.
You know, it's been fun to watch your team and to see you get, you know, we didn't know what to expect. And it feels like you have a great understanding of the game. And, you know, when you put your lineup out, I'm looking at the leadoff guy and I'm thinking, oh boy, boom goes the dynamite and he hits a home run. I just think you're making some clever moves, and congratulations on that. It's really fun to watch.
Yeah, well, thanks. I mean, you know, we try to do our best to put these guys in the best situation to succeed. And then it's really up to them. And these guys have been doing a great job from day one of spring training. You know, we've had a plan here. These guys have gone out and worked their tails off. And it's nice to see in the early going here that it's paying off for them.
I like the transparency in that the approach to the batting order is fluid and flexible, and you kind of are looking for something, but you don't know quite yet what you're looking for, and there might be a variety of different options. What are you looking for at the top of the order, and how flexible do you think you can be with the order? That a lot of guys like the routine, they like to have an everyday lineup, but at the same time, when you have a lot of guys that maybe are unproven, you know that's going to be maybe more fluid than you might want it to be.
Yeah, and we want to be sensitive to that. You know, Miguel Vargas comes to mind where we've asked him to lead off. We've asked him to hit fifth. You might see him hit fourth at some point here coming up. And, you know, at the same time, we have to be flexible a little bit. You know, we need to string together as many good things in a row as we can. And I think that just looks different on different nights.
It's fun that Andrew Benintendi has started pretty quick here. And I think that, you know, there was concern with his hand, that's a very tough injury, and yet here he is, and he's raking a little bit. Did you expect him to be able to come back and contribute as quickly as he has?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, and I thought about that yesterday, actually, is where we're at in spring training with the hand, thinking that we might be, a couple weeks into the season before he's ready to go. And then all of a sudden, you know, he is looking like he is ready to go, but does he have enough at-bats? And then you watch him get in there and take his at-bats, and it's just a reminder that this guy's a really good hitter, you know, and really happy with his start and really happy that he's in the lineup for us.
Sean Burke back on the mound today after a very promising opening day start. He is somebody that you tabbed as the opening day starter, and I think it surprised a lot of people. I'm not sure how surprised you were by what he delivered on opening day, but did it affect the way you viewed him? Can you remind us what his potential is? Because Sean Burke's somebody that suddenly looks like a guy that knows what he's doing out there.
Yeah, you know, it really wasn't surprising at all. You know, watching the way that he worked, really watching all our guys work, you just have a lot of confidence in their process and in how they're looking at it, their ability to go out there and execute, and just their confidence. You know, these guys are young guys that are extremely confident in their skill sets, and it's been great to watch them go out there and do it. And with Sean in particular, you know, for me, I'm just learning all of these guys, but it really struck me from day one that this is a guy that really feels like he belongs at the front of a rotation, and we're glad that he is.
So, Will, I'm a lifelong Sox fan, and I'm following your team closely. And I, you know, the minute I hear something like Kyle Teal is raking in the, I'm like, bring the guy up. And I just wonder how do you handle the knowledge that there are guys on the way that you got to keep half an eye on, guys that almost made the team, nothing better than someone named Montgomery showing up at some point. How do you handle that when you're got a game and you got to work and you got no time for distraction?
Yeah, you know, we are focused on what's going on here in Chicago, and there's certainly a lot of things going on a daily basis that we're concentrated on here. At the same time, those guys are going to be a part of this. And you know, we sent them to the minor leagues with a game plan, with things that we wanted them to work on. And we're going to check on those things. And those are going to be kind of our benchmarks moving forward here to see how they're developing and progressing. And, you know, like I said, they're going to be a part of this. And, you know, when their time comes, we'll be ready to go.
So how difficult was it from day one, from the first game, from getting your vantage point at the rate in the dugout, where you're going to sit, what you're going to do, who's sitting next to you, how tied up are you in the rituals and superstitions and just the overall routine? As the manager, was that difficult to get, or how much fun was it to get into that routine?
Yeah, a lot of fun, you know. Number one, trying not to be superstitious here in the early going, you know, and attaching ourselves to all these little things that pop up, even though naturally, I think as baseball players, you end up wanting to do those things. But, you know, I'm just really happy with our staff and kind of our process here in the early going where, you know, whether we're on offense or defense, you know, we're all huddled up. We're talking about stuff. We have great communication. We're being proactive with it. And it's just a really fun process to be a part of, and really happy with the way our staff has gone about it.
I loved your answer to the question about the torpedo bat. That seems to have taken on a life of its own. And you said a lot of the hits you had, a lot of the non-hits would go off the middle of the bat. You wish you had one of those ones.
Yeah, I really could have used that with all the times I got jammed. But yeah, you know, the torpedo bats are interesting. I know that there's a lot of conversation about it. You know, for me, at the end of the day, it's still a round bat, and it's still going to be extremely challenging to hit. So, you know, hey, good for these guys if they're comfortable using those bats, and it gives them confidence up there.
You hit 22 homers in 2013. That was the only year you've topped 20 in 13 or 9 years in the majors. Was that the torpedo bat season?
That might have been the 1 year I didn't need the torpedo bat. You know, things were working that year. I was able to get the sweet spot to the ball more often. But yeah, wasn't able to repeat that one. But happy to be able to mix one of those in.
What are you looking for in your lineup? Whether who regardless of who's leading it off, and regardless of who else is in it, how would you describe the overall offensive philosophy when guys are going up to the plate?
Yeah, well, we want to control the zone, number one. You know, I think there's a combination of controlling the zone and being ready to attack on pitches that we can do damage on. And these guys have done a great job, you know, starting with our hitting coaches and their advanced process and highlighting, you know, the game plan attack for each one of these pitchers that we're facing. And then our guys going out and training and getting ready for those moments. And then, you know, going out there on the field and executing. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's what it's going to be about. It's going to be about controlling the zone and not missing the pitches in the zone that you can hit.
You know, I got to tell you, I love the way that we now look at the White Sox and we think somebody knows a lot about pitching. Like, someone there is doing a great job because these guys, you know, guy like Cannon didn't get it done in Arizona. But he comes to Chicago and, oh, yeah, that was because of the weather in Arizona. Like and it's a logical answer, and it feels that way. And I believe it was Shane Smith, and you were asked, what do you tell a guy when he's making his debut? You're like, well, I'm not the one that's in his head. I'm not the one in his ear. You let other pitchers, you let other guys help him out as he's starting off as a starting pitcher. I just think that's very wise. Is that from your years of playing yourself, when people would get in your head or tell you something? Is it better to come from players?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's some messages that need to come from the manager, but things like that, we just have a really good pitching program, number one, and we have really good players that are good teammates, you know? And so there's a lot of support that each player needs. It doesn't always have to come from the manager, and more often than not, it's better when it comes from teammates.
I think one of the all the starts from your five guys in your rotation have been impressive for different reasons. I think the one that may stand out, it's hard to pick one, but Martin Perez did what he did by not topping 90, I think, velocity-wise. So he definitely is the definition of a pitcher. He wasn't just a thrower. He was finding and locating and doing the things that 34-year-old veterans have been known to do. How impressed have you been by Martin Perez? Not only what he has done on the mound since arriving, but also he's talking very optimistically and setting a very positive tone in that clubhouse.
Yeah, I'm absolutely in love with what Martin is doing, you know, and like you said, it's obviously the performance on the mound speaks for itself. But it's a communication with his teammates. We believe that we have the opportunity to create our own weather here and create the environment that is conducive to us playing good baseball and winning. And Martin is contributing to that at a very high level. And so when he's talking optimistically about this group, I love it. You know, it's for us not to put a ceiling on what we can do here is very important. And I think at the end of the day, when you have that kind of conversation from a leader like that, it really gives our guys the confidence that, you know, we can go out and win this game today.
You know, I heard, I think it was Steve Stone on the broadcast, said that with Martin Perez in particular, his hands, when they're down at his waist before he gets going, he's more comfortable in that position. And they had noticed, I think it was Brian Bannister had noticed maybe, that he was holding the ball up higher to his chest, and that was one of the slight adjustments. And I think when we hear things like that, we think about the way you've come in and you understand analytics and you're looking at the game differently, and there are these little things, tiny adjustments that make a huge difference for players, and you're trying to do that throughout the roster.
Yeah, you know, that's a huge part of this. You know, all these little things matter, and, you know, they can make a really big impact. And, you know, that's why we feel confident about our group of coaches, how we've structured our departments and the work that they've been doing, that, you know, there's these things that we notice and we can make adjustments with. And then, you credit the players for being able to make those adjustments, train, and then take them into the game and have success.
So we talk to Ozzy every week, and you know he's ever present at the ballpark, especially now that the studio's on the fourth floor. He's going to be out there all the time. He told us about giving you a bottle of champagne after your first major league victory. Have you popped the cork yet?
Yeah, I have popped the cork, and just so appreciative of Ozzy and his support. You know, that bottle of champagne came with a really nice note that really meant a lot. And, you know, whether it's Ozzy or you know, everybody else that's showing me love and support here, just makes me feel really good and feel like I'm in a really good spot with this club.
Well, speaking of being in a really good spot, you gotta answer the question, have you tried the birthday cake milkshake, and how do you compare it to the campfire milkshake?
No, I have not. I have not got down on milkshakes yet. I need to try those.
Well, the best news is, Will, is that, you know what, this year it looks like the baseball will be just as good as the food at the rate. that's encouraging.
Great.
No, it's awesome. Yeah, no, thanks, guys. We're excited to get going here, and appreciate you guys.